Welcome to GovIT, a monthly podcast series from TD SYNNEX Public Sector, where we discuss the next generation of public sector IT solutions with the technology innovators driving the change. I'm your host, Tom Temin. Each month, we explore a different technology, what it is, and how it can help public sector organizations achieve their modernization goals and accomplish their missions. In this episode, we're sitting down with Kevin Shaker, Senior Manager of Lead Generation and Market Intelligence at TD SYNNEX Public Sector, to discuss the opportunities around and how to navigate the federal government's fiscal year end. Kevin, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Tom.
And there are people that might be new to the federal year end phenomenon, this environment. Why is the federal fiscal year end so important to us in this particular market?
Great question to start off with. And the reason being, you know, in general dollars, September has always been sort of roughly 2 months wrapped in one, and, you know, Q4 having the whole of funds for all federal government. And then this year in particular, we are actually estimating around $250 billion to be spent. And that's based on the trends and drivers of the last three fiscal years that we analysts, we figure based on obligation featured in what we know as compound annual growth rate. So out of that $250 billion, we're expecting about $135 just in September obligations, which we're valuing at actually $20 billion higher than in FY22. Now, DOD side of the house is where a lot of that bulk of that spending comes from. You'd imagine Air Force and Army have a large amount of deals coming out of them, as well as the DOD agencies. Think DISA, think DHA. And then on the civilian side, there's a bunch of heavy players, big Q4 spenders, which are usually more predictable in terms of their funds, HHS, VA, DHS on top, which doesn't come to much of a surprise, right? Because they are the heaviest funded civilian departments in the president's cabinet year. The funds that agencies have are no longer accessible to them after that September 30th deadline. That is it. And to most of us, we call that use it or lose it funding. Now, last thing I'll just say real quick is that we are expecting in Q4 this year a spend of around $40 billion, but maybe even closer to $45.
So there's a lot of dollars coming. The question is, a lot of it is going through existing contract vehicles. If you're not already on a contract, can you get in on that year-end dollar bonanza at this point?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a couple of options to pursue there. It's a bit late to get on a contract here by yourself, you know, especially at the end of the fiscal year. And even if you were able to do so, you'd be setting yourself up for more of next year's opportunities rather than this year's. There are some quick IDIQ turnarounds, but for the most part, I'd say the biggest impact you can make here is to team with partners with blanket purchase agreements, BPAs. And secondly, you can sell directly to systems integrators. And if you take that second approach, I'd suggest you still would need to get the buy-in from that adjacent government end user to ultimately really guide the embedded contractor to use the right solutions. Usually consumption from that FSI is dependent on end user sentiments, of course, but to be surprised, not always. Sometimes FSIs have free range to implement and merge systems without much of a checkoff from that government end user. But if you do sell into an FSI or pivot a strategy toward one, you want to target contractual work, obviously, that they've already been awarded, so you can position your solutions to, again, the government's mission, which is paramount.
And people should understand what happens to unspent federal dollars when that October 1st new fiscal rolls around. Maybe just a real quick summary of the federal budget process.
Yes. And in fact, I do that actually rather frequently in this arena. Every new fiscal year, the president and his cabinet get together to write an agenda for the federal government. And that step is to flesh out what the president and their secretaries would like to accomplish in that year or even set up for even following years. So once those goals are established, the secretaries go back to their departments and ask program leads, directors, other key decision makers how much money they might need to accomplish those goals. And once every secretary or director for non-departmental agencies has a detailed account of what they might need to meet that president's agenda, the large consolidated package comes out as the president's requested budget. And you can essentially think of that as a wish list. That list or requested funding then goes to Congress to ultimately get picked apart by committees and various legislators. And then there's a dialogue and a series of concessions that are made between the president and the cabinet, along with the political parties and within Congress. So, shocker, that's the portion that always holds up the appropriations budget. Obviously, nothing is agreed to on the first pass through. But once all the compromises have been made for every department and, you know, agency organization, we then have an appropriated budget. And it gets a little bit confusing, of course, sometimes not all at once. And so you might have an omnibus or a partially appropriated budget. Then the Treasury, along with OMB or the Office of Management and Budget, then allocates funding to various organizations. Now, the money that is not spent gets benchmarked and goes back to the Treasury after the fiscal year. One last thing I'll add there is just to reiterate that some organizations are, or I guess I didn't say it the first time around, but working capital funds are set up that helps a little bit with some of the funding with rollover, partially some to have some of the initiatives that require new funding seem a little bit more seamless year to year.
All right. Good stuff to know. And then, of course, September comes and goes. And then more than likely, if you go by the last 40 years, we will be in a continuing resolution instead of an actual new budget. What are some of your best pointers for contractors to navigate to keep their lights on and their employees working in continuing resolutions?
Great question. I mean, and obviously, I do believe that we will inevitably get another CR. It's very seldom that there's actually a full pass budget on time. There's only four times in recent history, really. 1977 was the first year we can look back to, and there's another one in 1989. And then there were 2 years in the mid-90s where we had a fully appropriated budget on time. And the last time actually was October 1st of 1997, right? So that's 26 years ago. So assuming we get a CR, which I do believe is a safe bet based on just our general trajectory, how does that affect how we should be going to market? I think we need to talk about a continuing resolution for what it does. CRs ultimately fund government organizations at a prior budget level to keep the government afloat without a shutdown, typically for a given amount of time, you know, and as we've seen in the past, that could be a couple of weeks or could be some months. When, though, a CR is enacted, there's an absence of new funding for new IT projects or DME dollars. I assume most people listening have heard that, but just to be safe, DME stands for Development, Modernization, and Enhancement Funding. Dollars usually that are designed to, you know, are actually sought out by prospecting groups or organizations that are looking to break into a department to greatly spread their work to other offices. However, though, even if you don't have DME dollars to work with, which is often the case with a continuing resolution, it doesn't mean that you can't uncover new business or that you shouldn't even try. All it means is that when you are positioning yourself to sell to the government under a CR, you'll want to tie your latest and greatest technology pitch to the program's office's prior requirements. Think of like FY22 for now and FY23, not FY24, basically. It's a really good question because I think a lot of people think they can't access those O&M dollars when actually they can.
All right. Great insight. And for this period that we have remaining in the fiscal year, which are the best agencies, government organizations that IT vendors should really pay attention to? Where should they aim their targeting at this point?
I would say that it's actually best to target multiple agencies. I know it sounds like an easy answer here, but not just one, but not if that's going to inhibit the organization you're working with ability to research opportunity, organization, motives, and goals, et cetera. You really get that sharpened edge for the targeting. I can't say this enough, but it's so incredibly important to familiarize yourself with your customer. Every department, agency, and office isn't the same. And while there are common standards, say across DOD, everyone does things a bit differently with certain parameters. So you want to really get to know the pain points and the goals of your end user. DOD has an IT budget as big as most of the civilian sector combined, right? It spends the most during this time from raw size, but the civilian agencies rely more heavily on Q4 spending and percentage. HHS, DHS, and VA, as I said, are not particularly shocking and could be good targets just from a raw overhaul spend. But looking back to last year, I can tell you that VA, largely inspired by the electronic health record modernization work, which is ongoing. Army, Department of State, constantly dealing with existential threats of China and Russia. And there's Navy heavily focused on zero trust implementation with AI and machine learning, and the defense agencies focusing on network automation and security upgrades, just to name a few. Also to mention HHS comes to mind, which they're attempting to rewrite their cyber framework based on all the ransom attacks they've been getting. They all spent marginally more in September 22 than in September 21. So just looking at that trend, those could be good targets. So you could go after these agencies a bit heavier, not only in September, but obviously sooner is better to capture some of those in-year funding. But I guess the short answer is that all departments and bureaus have opportunities and are really good hunting grounds during this time. Now I just want to pivot real quick to say that on the contract side, quick transactions like those frequently seen at the end of the fiscal year often run through larger IDIQs and GWACs. Think GSA, MASS, SOOP5, Alliant, as well as CIOSP3. Also, you want to stay tuned a little bit for JETS 2.0 DLA contract. There's a DOI Foundation Cloud Hosting Services contract. And then the new addition, actually, stay tuned for the FAA SAVES contract. And there's the FBI IT Supplies and Support Services contract. So those are all good things to watch. They might be released here, but often they get delayed. But in general, what I'll say is you'll be rewarded if you leave really no stone unturned and pursue every possible angle for available opportunities. Certainly partnering will be key at this point.
All right. So there's some great hunting. Don't bring a shotgun, though. Bring a rifle with lots of ammo.
that is a better way to put it, though.
All right. Kevin Shaker manages public sector intelligence at TD SYNNEX Public Sector. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
For more information on maximizing your public sector opportunities, please visit dlt.com/mi. You've been listening to GovIT from TD SYNNEX Public Sector. We'll be back soon with more public sector IT content. I'm Tom Temin.